Welcome to Randomania! It's a podcast where we select a WrestleMania match
at random,
and then we talk about it. And so my name is Brad. I'm joining you once again, fifth week in a row, crushing it. I'm joined this week, as always, this is my brother Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Hello, Bradley John. It's good to see your face on the Skype and hear your voice. Hey, man. Like I said, fifth in a row, like, we're on fire, as they say.
You know, it shows that we care about all you listeners out there who are giving us such great feedback every week. We appreciate it. We appreciate all the five-star reviews you're leaving. Everyone that seems to be loving it, they enjoy it. Everyone's talking about it. They say it's the best show they've ever heard. We had a match of one. I was inspired for some reason.
Yeah, I wonder why, huh? Must talk about it, yeah.
Yeah, we had a match to watch this week, Matt. What match was it?
We got match number 43, and it's from WrestleMania 4, March 27th, 1988, from Boardwalk Hall, located right next to the Trump Plaza in front of 19,199 fans. It's a tournament match with the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, against The Rock, Don Morocco.
That's right, and the tournament match, like you said, to crown a new World Wrestling Federation champion, as the belt had been vacated, probably February, right?
Yeah, I have the exact date for you. February 5th, it was on the very first main event, which aired on NBC. Like, it was in place of Saturday Night Live. They put wrestling on, because Dick Ebersol was a big wrestling fan and friend with Vince McMahon. So on the very first main event, Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant for the title. And do you know much about that match?
Isn't that the double Hebner? The twin referee thing?
What may be the greatest angle in the history of the WWF, and I'm not even kidding. So, real quick, it's Andre and Hogan for the title, and Andre pins Hogan and wins the championship. But Hogan clearly got his shoulder up, but the referee counted a three. And it's kind of fishy. Hogan's arguing, and he's like, what's going on? This is weird. My shoulder's up, brother. What are you doing? And then another referee comes out that looks exactly like the referee that's been on TV for a long time. And Dave Hebner had been a referee for the WWF, and this was his twin brother Earl Hebner showing up and coming out. And the whole story was that the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, paid a referee to get plastic surgery to look like this referee to screw Hulk Hogan so Andre could win, because DiBiase couldn't beat Hogan, but Andre could. And Andre did, with the screwball referee angle. And then Andre sold the title to DiBiase. So DiBiase is the WWF champion because he won, had the referee get plastic surgery to look like the referee that we've been seeing on television, and then two, bought the title from Andre. I'm telling you, greatest thing ever.
When I turned around, me, Gene, they were identical. Identical.
Right here, Hulk. Here it
is
now.
Look at the shoulder, brother. Look at the shoulder.
That's it.
The referee is paid off, brother. Look at the $100 bill falling off his pocket.
I know you're disappointed, Hulk.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. And especially, you know, it's a big moment for them getting that primetime spot Saturday night on NBC. And then they put one of their better things they ever did out. So, yeah, nice. The championship was vacated after the controversy, right? Because of
Jack Tunney said that DiBiase is not the champ. He didn't win the title. You can't buy a championship, so I'm going to call it vacant. And we're going to have a tournament at WrestleMania 4 next month, which is the month after they did that. So here we are, March 27th. Like, we're what? It's 6 weeks after that main event thing. So they made a 14-man tournament for the WWF Championship, and the entire tournament would take place at WrestleMania, and the match we got is one of them.
Mm-hmm. So, irrelevant to the match we got, because the match we got is kind of, it's not the greatest match.
Correct.
You know, it is what it is. So we can talk about other, you know, the things around it. So WrestleMania 4, like, so technically Andre the Giant was the champion. He was WWF champion, right? He's the shortest champion ever, isn't he?
Yeah, I think they recognize him. I think for a while they didn't recognize him, then they did, then they didn't. They do now currently as him being a one-time WWF champion, and he's with the shortest reign. Yeah, even shorter than Yokozuna from 93, so yeah. Shorter than Rey Mysterio, shorter than a few people that lost some Money in the Bank matches. Maybe not anymore. Some of those might have actually trumped it now. I'm not sure.
Good choice of trumped it, because this was at Trump Plaza. That's the next thing we talk about. Donald Trump sitting ringside, which, of course, for the first 25 years of existing was not a big deal. Like, whatever. Then he became president of the United States.
And now it's a thing. Yeah, it's weird, because actually this, the venue that they're in, is not Trump Plaza. It's actually called Boardwalk Hall now, and I think it was called, like, Atlantic City Convention Hall prior to that, like, when this happened. But it was next to Trump Plaza Hotel and Casino, and Trump sponsored this WrestleMania, and he did WrestleMania 5 as well. So they called it live from Trump Plaza, even though the building they're in is not Trump-owned. Isn't that funny?
I did not know that. That's a today I learned.
I found it out this morning as well. That's the same thing. Yep, that's why I called it from Boardwalk Hall next to Trump Plaza. Because, yeah, it's weird because you're right, Trump in the front row the whole show with his then-wife. It's pretty weird.
Yeah, and he's always watching it and enjoying it. I always thought that was nice.
Yeah, you might see him, like, having a conversation with somebody next to him, but he's around. Well, even DiBiase's first match, like, they have a little interaction. They didn't have no interaction for the match we're going to talk about here, but, you know, DiBiase being the rich guy, and, of course, Trump literally being the rich guy, like, they had a nice little interaction, so I thought that was cool.
So the match itself, we get to it, Don Morocco comes out first. So they'd already fought earlier in the card, but we don't.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. Like, this is what, the third round or second round? I think this is quarterfinals, not semifinals. This is quarterfinals.
Yes. Because the winner of this match got a bye into the finals. So he got past the semis.
The winner of this match would have faced the winner of the Hogan-Andre match.
Yeah, so I was always fascinated by, since it is a bracket, the other possibilities that could have happened in this tournament, you know, non-storyline, you know. You think, like, wow, what if, like, Hogan won that clean, you know, and then Morocco somehow came, like, you'd have a, well, it's say even if DiBiase won the match as he did, you'd have to have a Hogan-DiBiase match next. I don't know, I thought.
Or Andre! Like, Andre lays down for DiBiase, you know what I mean? They already had that thing going. That could have been a whole thing, you know? So, yeah, that would have been interesting. And it's 14-man tournament because Hogan and Andre each got a first-round bye because they had already had the title and the controversy. So, 14 guys. Should I say who these guys beat in the first round? It doesn't really matter.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, Morocco beat... oh, my God. I don't even know.
Dino Bravo.
That's right. Dino Bravo.
DiBiase beat
Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Hacksaw Booger Duggan. He has a big old booger in his mustache.
Did we have that match on here?
Oh, I don't believe we have, no. We did have other WrestleMania 4.
Yeah, the DiBiase Savage finale. So that's where I get mixed up, because we talked about that. Anyway, that was probably years ago at this point, too.
It was, well, 4 years ago, probably.
I go back and listen to that episode. I bet it's a good one.
Yeah, it's on the archives.
Yeah. Randomania podcast website. Anyway, that's who they beat to get here. And, like they said, the winner of this match, because of the bye situation with that Hogan-Andre double DQ, spoiler alert, the winner of this match advances directly to the finals.
Yep. And you started saying Don Morocco comes out first.
Yeah, he's coming out with Superstar Billy Graham, who I think was like, he was like mentoring him, you know, he's putting him in tie-dye shirts. And
I know how that happened, if you want to know how that happened.
Let's go. I do.
So, Superstar Billy Graham had recently come back to the company. So, he was a big star there in the 70s. He was actually a WWF champion and very, very popular, like super popular, even as a bad guy, because he was technically a heel and had a couple year run as title. Super jacked up roid guy, right? He left after some contract disputes and some health problems, and then he came back right here in 87, and he was a wrestler, he was a competitor. Well, there was a storyline, he was getting beat down by the one-man gang, Butch Reed and Slick, and Don Morocco, who had been a heel for almost his entire WWF run, because he had been there about 6-7 years at this point, saved Superstar Billy Graham, thus turning Don Morocco a babyface, and Billy Graham, being with Don Morocco as his kind of mentor, started putting Don Morocco in the tie-dye shirts, changed up his music, So there you go. There's another I learned today.
Nice. I love it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Speaking of music, he comes out on the WWE Network to some bullshit.
Yeah, it's not his music! So I'm super pissed!
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the music that he came out to was Jesus Christ Superstar. Is that it?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe we can hear it right here.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Anyway.
Yeah, first thing I noticed on the network, like, what the fuck? This ain't his music. Now, if you watch the video that I posted on social, though, that I put on Facebook, it's the original broadcast, so it's got his Jesus Christ Superstar music, so check that out on our Facebook page.
Very cool. Pulled directly from the VHS, I hope.
Hopefully.
So, yeah, he comes out, nothing to say there, and then DiBiase comes out, well, they just, and his opponent, Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, doesn't even have his music yet, which I always forget about.
I don't even think he got music for like another almost 2 years.
Yeah, which is weird because everyone had music, and he was kind of a star. So yeah, I don't know.
Kind of. See, dude, main evented this whole summer without entrance music.
Yeah.
Yeah, but and he comes out with no Virgil, who's usually with him, his bodyguard.
Because he was thrown to the wolves because DiBiase had to compete later.
That's yeah, he had
Hogan.
Yep, DiBiase had gotten involved in the Hogan-Andre match, and then Hogan slammed Virgil, or suplexed him in the aisleway and injured him. So Virgil does come out later for his final match, but for this match here, it's just DiBiase, no ring jacket, no ring gear, only in his tights, no Andre, no Virgil, super, like, scaled down, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, he's already wrestled tonight, we don't need a big show here. Pretty much. So, yeah, it's interesting because Morocco jumps him before the bell even starts. Which I thought was weird.
Before he even gets in the ring.
Yeah, before he even gets in the ring, and they even made a comment about there not being a bell.
And then it rings. Yeah. I think Gorilla said it. And we got Gorilla Monsoon and Jesse the Body Ventura calling this one, by the way. But yeah, maybe that's just the heel being the heel because he's been a heel so long that he's only been a babyface at this point for 4 months. You know, maybe a little longer than that, because he was on the babyface team Survivor Series the previous year. So, but the match itself, I mean, it is a 1988 house show match that they had to get through to make sure that the tournament was legit, and I have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, the few observations I had about it was, number one, DiBiase had zero offense for like the first 5 minutes of the match. Like he was just getting his ass kicked. And then when he did have offense, about 90% of everything he did was illegal, which I thought was great.
Well, it's a heel. Go crazy. Yeah.
Every single thing he did was choke holds or something, everything was illegal. I was just noticing the referee, by the way. We'll talk about that, but
just right in his face. Why? How? Why? Why?
So most of the second half of the match was just the referee yelling at Ted DiBiase for breaking the rules.
So, in the third, today I learned, do you know who the referee is?
I don't.
I did not know either, and this was the mystery that I've had for fucking 30 years. I don't know who this dude is. So I looked it up today. His name is Jack Kruger. His ring name is Jack Kruger. It's not his real name. Former wrestler, worked for a long time through various promotions through the United States, including the WWF as an enhancement talent. And then he had a mustache and didn't look anything like this dude. Kind of jacked up. And then this is late in the guy's career and is a referee now. Jack Kruger. Today I learned. See, this match was worth getting because we found some information out that I didn't even know. And if I didn't know it, bro, it's pretty obscure shit.
We have learned so much today.
I will say, Don Morocco, holy fuck, you're Jack, bro.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, yep. Steroid era, my God.
Yep, first thing, my wife came in the room and I was all watching it. She goes, whoa, that guy's huge. Yeah, this is a 1988 peak, like, we've got good steroids. And they're not illegal.
Yeah, and they're not illegal, and no one gives a shit, and we ain't testing, and look at the size of my arms. Because Don Morocco, if you could find anywhere, I'm not expecting anybody to do this, go watch like a 1983 or even a 1985 Don Morocco match. He's in shape, but he's got like a gut on him, and he's kind of, I don't want to say flabby, because he's still a big dude, but then cut to this man, and it's like, okay, yep, he's getting a shot in his ass, because holy crap, like he's in WrestleMania 2 in the opener, and he doesn't even look like this. Yeah, DiBiase looks like he hasn't touched steroids ever.
No, I was thinking the same thing. I said, well, we know one guy who probably wasn't using steroids at the time was Ted DiBiase, because he looks pretty average, which I liked about that, because you could tell that he was... he got to where he was not because of his skill. He got there because of his privilege, because he was rich. You know what I mean? So it's easier to hate him. And I know that's not necessarily what Ted DiBiase was pre-WWF. I know that. But, like, that character worked for me. That he was a million-dollar man, and he was not even in shape, and he's going to be world champion. And this flabby guy should get beat up by everybody in the locker room.
Yeah, truly. Yeah, like, and he's, you know, that chicken shit heel that buys his way out of stuff. You know what I mean? So... Yep. Yeah, I think DiBiase had only been back in the WWF for, I don't even know, 5 months? No, maybe a little longer than that. Summer of 87, because I think he came back in like May or something, and then was made the Million Dollar Man in like June of 87. So he hadn't really been even around that long after this. And they did all those vignettes with him, like, you know, I'll pay $100 if you can dribble this ball 10 times. It's a little kid, and he kicks the ball out from under him at 9. And pays people to kiss his feet. One of whom was like Rob Van Dam, a young Rob Van Dam. Another was Linda McMahon. One of the people. Oh, something just fell in my background. Sorry about that. Another was Linda. Yeah, this match. I mean, you got a nice drop kick from Morocco.
Yeah, nice standing drop kick. There was a few moves where I was like, well, he's still pretty athletic despite being a big old jack dude. He did the old. Flip over them head snap move, which it wasn't very well done, but I was like, hey, at least he can get off his feet, you know? Yeah,
he did it. The big drop kick, which is a standing drop kick, not easy to do. We get the fist drops, the patented fist drops from DiBiase, the missed elbow off the middle rope, but really, it's a hot shot that Morocco takes. Shot,
1-2-3. Yeah.
And 1-2-3, the match is 5 minutes and 35 seconds. Bell to bell. So it's, you know,
Yeah, that's it. Great.
Before we rate it, I'm going to give you a little bit of, here's what they did after Mania, because, I mean, we'll let this thing go a couple minutes longer. Savage wins the title, right? Beats DiBiase. So those two guys feud pretty much for the next 5, 6, 7 months after this. They have the Mega Bucks, Mega Powers match at SummerSlam that year, which is Andre and DiBiase against Savage and Hogan. DiBiase stays with the company until 95? Maybe 96?
My thinking is 96, because he showed up with NWO time. He was like the fourth member of the NWO. Yeah. So, even if he wasn't... He was definitely 100,000% there in 95, because he still had his million-dollar corporation.
Yep.
For like a long time. So, and he was, the million with the ringmaster. It was in 96, so.
That's true, early 96. So, yeah, there you go. He did win a tag titles. A year after this, he created the million-dollar championship, because he was unable to capture the WWF title. So he made his own title, and it was just dollar signs made with, like, faux crystals that look like diamonds on gold-plated metal. That was a million-dollar title, so that's pretty tight.
Take a look at that, Jesse. Behold! McMahon, are those all the diamonds, obviously?
Million-dollar championship!
I liked that his wrestling figure came with one.
Heck yeah, and I have one for my Hasbro baby. Here we go. Hall of Famer 2010, by the way, WWF. Don Morocco had a quick feud after this with Greg the Hammer Valentine through the summer and wrestled his last match ever with the WWF in November of 88, later that year. So Morocco's long career just pretty much wrapped her up for being on a major show, because he was not on... Oh, I think he was actually on SummerSlam that year. But beyond that, that was it for Morocco. And he was, do you know that he was an ECW champion?
No, I did not.
Yeah, before they were Extreme Championship Wrestling, when it was Eastern Championship Wrestling, he was one of those weird title holders of the old veterans in the same vein as the Tito Santanas, the Don Moroccos, and the Jimmy Snuka's.
Yes. I was thinking Jimmy Snuka. Yeah.
Yeah, Snuka got it too. And he went into the WWF Hall of Fame same year as we talked last week about Tito, 2004.
There you go. Hall of Famers.
We haven't had a lot of matches with two Hall of Famers, so that's pretty cool.
Yep. And a Hall of Fame performance from the referee. I really liked it.
Jack Cougar, baby. I'm never going to forget it now.
There you go. I already did, so that's why I'm glad you said it.
Jack Cougar. Don't forget it. Wah! Tow! Wah! Tow! Hey! Ah! Hey! And you know how short he was?
Yes. But he's super authority, tiny. Though, right? He's one of those referees that's like, oh, the fucking boss! You know what I mean? I like that. I do appreciate it.
Was that your Bobby Heenan WrestleMania 6 reference? Your impersonation?
That's right. Andre? Yes, it was. That was another one of mine.
Not even thinking about it.
Yep. It was.
I'm the fucking boss. Do you dare rate this thing?
I do want to rate it.
Do it.
I'm going to rate it a half an HBK. It's a half HBK because it's not even one. Okay, one, I guess, but, like, there are 250 other WrestleMania matches better than this one, I would say.
Maybe so 300 matches better than this one?
Maybe 300 WrestleMania matches better than this one. So it's so, like, insignificant, and it has such a weird ending. I just have to, it's not even worth anyone's time. Well, half of HBK.
So, you know, not every match, you know, in the tournament can end with a finisher. Not every match can end in a DQ. You already had a bunch of those. We get there's a finish that comes down to a draw with this, with both guys get eliminated. Like, even of the tournament matches, this might be the one that you're like, eh. Like, I'm sure the Morocco Bravo match, at least that had heat because they feuded. You know what I mean? Like,
Frenchie Martin was out there.
Frenchie Martin, baby. Yeah, I'm going to go half, too. Like, this would be one of those matches that you'll never need to watch ever, and you will miss out on nothing.
Yep.
So,
the only thing you might miss out...
They worked hard!
I'll say the only thing you might miss out on, though, is any time you get to listen to Gorilla and Jesse the Body, who are my preferred favorite. I know everyone loves Heenan. I love Heenan, too, but sometimes Heenan's too much jokes. A little bit. Just a bit. Maybe. A little. Whereas... Jesse Ventura always had the ability to make me believe what we were seeing was on the up and up. Don't you? He gave it legitimacy.
Well, yeah, and he worked a lot, too, you know what I mean? And he could talk so great that's, you know, I think he gave legitimacy. Did you notice the jab in this match when he was talking about Superstar Billy Graham? He's like, well, I helped train him.
That's right.
Totally not true. 100% not true. Jesse the Body Ventura 100% stole his gimmick and his persona as a wrestler from Superstar Billy Graham. So that was a little shot in there, which I thought was pretty funny. And you can almost, like, hear the smile and bullshit in his voice when he said it, too.
Absolutely.
That's totally classic, too.
I loved it. I caught it right away, and I laughed. Yeah, that's so good.
Well, I helped train him. Swear to God.
When he starts saying, like, I think the one-man gang is the favorite to win the tournament at this point. Like, he's, like, legitimately thinking about who should win this thing. I was like, oh, that's good. It's worth it, but it's really not worth it. Well, if you're watching the whole show, you can, sure, watch this match, too.
A little more, since we got a couple more minutes here. This was Ted DiBiase's second WrestleMania match. Obviously, his first WrestleMania match was in the first round against Duggan. So, this would be his second. So, it is his first WrestleMania. Right, but his second match, technically. This is Don Morocco. What, were you going to say something?
That's funny.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So technically, it's, you know, not his first WrestleMania match, even though it is his first WrestleMania. Don Morocco's third WrestleMania match. He was not at WrestleMania 1 on the card. He was the opener of both 2 and 3, though.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, and then this match here for Don Morocco. So third and final match on Mania for The Rock. Also, The Rock.
The Rock,
the original The Rock.
Yeah, it's funny to think that it was Ted DiBiase against The Rock, because it was.
Yeah, and later on in WWF, we also had Ted DiBiase and The Rock. I don't think they were there at the same time, though, were they? maybe in like 2013. I'm talking about Ted DiBiase Jr. And then when The Rock came back in like 2013, maybe at that point there was also The Rock and Ted DiBiase together. I don't know. Just trying to think of something weird to keep this not being a 20-minute fucking show.
I don't care if it's a 20-minute show.
Me either. That might be it, bro. All right. Yeah. That's sorry, everybody. This is what happens sometimes when you get a shit match. You can talk for 45 minutes about Kofi and Daniel Bryan, but when you get a tournament match from WrestleMania 4 that was a 5-minute match and 4 of that was bullshit, this is what we get. You got your list up, homie?
I do.
All right, so our minimum, we're going to do 0. If we get 0, we can talk about any match we want. If our max number is 358, here we go. We have 136.
136. 136 is... Holy shit. Yes! It is Bret Hart versus Steve Austin from WrestleMania 13. Are you shitting me? One of my favorite matches of all time. Let's do it.
I can watch this. This might be one of the best WrestleMania matches of all time.
Yeah, it's one of the best wrestling matches of all time. So what a great random generation that was. Bret Hart versus Stone Cold Steve Austin from WrestleMania 13. Next week, 13.
We'll, yeah, that'll be longer than 20 minutes right there, bro. Oh, man. So much to talk about. Yeah, I just so got goosebumps.
Yeah, hey.
I love this match. I love this match.
Feel these nipples.
And who'd have thought only 5 years ago those girls were only in grade school? I can't believe we got a... I can't believe we got a good match, but, like, we got, like... Holy shit, match.
A legit fist bump. 136, he said, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. All right, cool.
And I screenshot it for accuracy. Like, good. 100%, I'll post it. That's crazy. All right, well, next week will be really good. I'm telling you, watch the match. You're going to want to watch this match. It's everything about it. The start to finish, the storyline going in, what happens after the match, that night, what happens the next night on Raw. Like, one of the most iconic images you'll ever see from a WrestleMania.
They don't use it as much anymore. But
no, because of the blood. Spoiler alert. But fuck, man. Oh, man. All right, I'm going to post that picture on social. All right, Speaking of social, Random Mania Podcast on Instagram. You can tune in there to see a little spoiler. I'll always post the next match there first, so you can get that as your IG exclusive. We are on Facebook at Random Mania Podcast and on Twitter at Random Mania Pod. I don't tweet much, sorry. I mostly follow every wrestling personality I can find on Twitter with that account, so that's basically what I'd use that for. But I do post the match and try to tweet at people there, so maybe I'll get a mention or a retweet. Happened with Mark Marrow. Just saying.
It did.
One time. So, there you go.
What about Fat Guy Sports?
Oh, man, we can reshout out to Fat Guy Sports Talk. Yeah, thanks, fellas. They did have a show after we recorded last week, and we got a shout out from them again, so appreciate it, Aaron, TJ Grant, and Tyler. Thanks, boys.
Absolutely. We appreciate the love, and we send it right back. So I guess that's all. We didn't even hit 30 minutes, so I appreciate that. Hope your commute was short this week. Hope traffic was light, so this podcast fit right in where you were trying to do. What we want to do in the show is congratulate winners, which we're in the business of congratulating winners. And we're congratulating Ted DiBiase on his tournament win this week, advancing all the way to the finals to face whatever jabroni makes it, because he's probably going to win the tournament. Because he got a bye, right? Anyway, so congratulations to Ted DiBiase on winning your WrestleMania 4 quarterfinal match. But unfortunately, The Rock Don Morocco.
Yar! Far!
Everybody's got a price. Everybody's gonna pay. 'Cause the $1 million man.
Money, 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 money.
Some might cost a little. Some might cost a lot. But I'm the $1 million man. And you will be bought.
Ha 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 ha!